All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is January the 24th, 2023, 9 in the morning. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. The sun is out. Temperature, it's okay. Feels a lot better than yesterday. I tried to do this podcast yesterday, sat down, got everything prepared, which is really setting down. And I could get like, I don't know, I get some of it. And then I just sort of struggled. So, whatever. Didn't do it. But today I'm back. Let's give it a shot. I actually, you know, part of, I think, the challenge for me doing this podcast is just obviously coming up with things to talk about. But I did go to the meeting last night, and it's my favorite time of the year, I guess you could say. But I don't know about, you know, hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you are either thinking about getting sober, working on getting sober, hoping to get sober, knowing somebody getting sober, helping somebody get sober. But I hope something sober is going on in your life. And if it is, hopefully you are going to some meetings. Meetings are key. And if you are going to some meetings, hopefully there are a variety of meetings that you're going to, trying to keep it somewhat interesting. I know for me, I go to three meetings, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The meeting I went to last night was a step meeting. The meeting I go to on Wednesday is just a sort of a speaker meeting. Not a actual speaker meeting, not one that there's an actual speaker that speaks for the whole time. But, you know, someone sits up, shares a little of their story, and then opens up the meeting for conversation. And then I go to a meeting on Friday, which is the one that I lead. And that one's up in the air. I'm not sure what that is. I know I actually got someone to speak for this Friday, so I got that covered. But in the past, if I didn't have anybody to share, I would just read something out of the daily reflection book and then open up the meeting. And, yeah, that all seemed to work. You know, there's a real thing that's starting to go on. You know, it's like meetings are coming back. It's funny. A guy shared last night. Guy celebrated 3 years last night. And the cool thing was, obviously, he was celebrating 3 years. The other cool thing was this was a guy that really, like, you know, barely got sober, right? I mean, it was not easy for him. Why is this so low? Let me turn this up. Does this sound better? Is that louder? An older gentleman, right? I'm always amazed when someone's been, you know, basically in their addiction for like a big chunk of their life, like they're up in their like 60s and they still held it together somehow, drinking and doing what we do. I'm in shock because I could barely, you know, get a little period of time. But the point of the whole thing was that this guy was celebrating 3 years, and he came in right when the pandemic was hitting, and he basically got sober completely on doing the Zoom meetings, which I thought was really cool. I personally did not care for Zoom meetings, but I also had never, you know, been to Zoom meetings. I believe that meetings are an inconvenience and they should be that, and you should have to travel to them. And I don't care how many people in your head tell you that you don't need a meeting. You definitely need to go to meetings, right? So I'm a little bit old school when it comes to that. But to listen to a story and to listen to him say that really if it wasn't for the Zoom meetings, I'm not sure what he'd have done is fantastic, right? It's always evolving. I think probably the first time I even got sober, we didn't even have the internet, right? I know that we definitely didn't have Wi-Fi. We might have had dial-up. And there might have been a place that you could find a list of meetings to go to, but to actually go into like a Zoom meeting, it was pretty convenient. I was like, it's crazy how right when like the pandemic hit, the Zoom meeting started. Like they just, you know, it almost like lined up. I don't know. But the point is, I got to a meeting last night. For me, I like the three meetings that I go to because it keeps it interesting. It's a step. It's a sort of a speaker. and then it's an open topic. And, you know, I've shared before, as a person that just celebrated 14 years, I need 3 meetings a week. I could probably go to 4. I have other life, though. I have a family and stuff that I like to spend time with, and my dad and all that other junk. So, to me, 3 meetings a week is great. We'll see how it goes. But, whew, all that, you're right. Last night was great because the meeting that I go to on Mondays is a step meeting. So if you've been to a step meeting, if you haven't even been to a meeting, I don't know. I'm not sure who's listening. You know, maybe no one's there. Maybe someone listening to this podcast never been to a meeting. The way a meeting works is you usually have a room, right, where everybody kind of meets. Someone will have, there'll be some coffee maybe or something, and you'll usually have a leader. And it can be different kinds of meetings. And so the one I went to last night was on the steps, where we read one step a week. I know we split the 12th step. I don't know if we split the 4th step. But I know the 12th step is broken up into 2 days, two different Mondays, right? And I don't know, man. It's just, it keeps me in the step. I think I shared last week that, you know, we finished the 12th step, and I had forgotten that the 12th step ends with the Serenity Prayer, which is, you know, that's perfect way to end the 12th step is with the Serenity Prayer. I knew that. I've read it. I've done it 100 times, but for some reason I forgot. So the point is, it was nice to go. I enjoy going through these steps one at a time on a weekly basis. It just keeps me into it. And but the point of all that is that last night was on the first step. First step, which is, to me, the best step. I personally find the first step so important, right? And, you know, I've been sober. I got sober. You know, I tried to get sober once as a kid, or a couple times as a kid. You know, I shared last night in the meeting. I said, you know, I've gotten sober in a rehab. I've gotten sober in jail. I got sober bleeding on the sidewalk. And then the last time I got sober, I was just me by myself. And every time I got sober, I thought I was doing it for the right reason. And unfortunately, it would turn out that I wasn't. So the point of the first step, and I'm going to just say it out, you know, I'll just sort of read it, which is, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. You know, I shared last night, the first time I got sober as a victim. At least in my mind, I felt like a victim. I was a victim of alcoholism, right? I had come in, we admitted, all right, yes, our lives have become unmanageable. In my mind, my life had become unmanageable because, you know, I'd gotten punched in the face. I needed stitches. You know, I had wrecked my car. You know, I was living in a shitty apartment. I only hung out with shitty people. You know, of course my life seemed unmanageable, right? The first time I read that step, it talked about me, right? Poor me. Listen to that. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. I am powerless over alcohol, that my life has become unmanageable. And I think I confused unmanageable with despicable, because my life was despicable. But that's the choice that I had made. Right? That was the choice that I had made. I was living the life of a person that drank vodka every day, right? Which I just didn't, you know, it wasn't the worst place I could have been, but it definitely wasn't the best. It was average or below. You know, I had an apartment. I rented a place from my uncle. It was a dump. Thank you, though, because it was actually perfect for me. But it was a dump, right? Most humans wouldn't live in that place. I mean, it was fine. It was a beach rental. You know, it was perfect for the summer. But to live in there year-round, you know, most people wouldn't want those conditions. And it didn't help with me being in here because I didn't make the conditions any better. But I lived in a, you know, in a dumpy place. I drove a dumpy car that was given to me. I had a job. The job was perfect for people just like me because I couldn't get a better job. You know, I was stuck with it. And just because I was stuck with it, I had to put up with it. And when you have to put up with it, you have to put up with a lot of shit from employers, right? You know, a lot of people make bad decisions in life. And they have to, you know, unfortunately, due to that, they have to work in shitty jobs. And people know, you're not getting a better job, so you're just going to put up with this shit. It's a fucked up life. And I lived in that life for a long time. You know, where because I can't seem to get my shit together, I have to be subjected to shit work conditions, you know, terrible pay. You know, I got what I got, right? I'm fucked up. But, you know, and I got sober, and I was sober for almost 4 or 5 years, and then would finally drink. And the next time when I finally got sober again, you know, I really took a look at that first step. Trying to come at it from a different angle, meaning trying to come at it from a more humble approach, you know. And if you listen to it, you know, what the step is saying right away, it takes more than me, right? I can't do this by myself. It takes we, right? We admitted. That's to surrender. I admit it. I can't do it. It's got me, right? I'm powerless. I can't do it. My life's all fucked up. I'm admitting it. I surrender. Probably one of the first humble things I'd ever done. You know, up until that point, I lived a self-centered life, hardcore. And then to admit anything, I never admitted. I would lie. You know, my parents would catch me doing shit. I'd be like, nope, didn't do it. Yeah, but it says right here, you have 57 absences out of school. Nope, I was there. Like, I just couldn't admit anything. I could never surrender. Never surrender, right? You ride the freaking plane into the ground. Couldn't surrender. So we admitted, same thing, surrender. Admitted, we were powerless over alcohol, right? In my first round with this program, to me that sounded like, you know, I had an issue and people should feel bad about me. Bad for me, maybe. Not about me, for me. You know, oh, poor guy's got, he's powerless over alcohol. That's his problem, you know? That our lives have become unmanageable. To who? To who? You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else, right? That's not what the step says, but that, in my mind, is how I had to read it. Yeah, because honestly, my life had become unmanageable to everybody. My parents, my employer, my uncle, the neighbor, the bar, the bartender. My car was probably annoyed at me. The people I bought liquor from, the people I worked for, everybody in my life had been was sick of it. My life had become unmanageable to everybody else. You know, I always say, you're as good as your audience, right? And At the end of my drinking, my audience was fading. It really was down to two or three people. One being my parents, two being my employer, and three being my uncle that I was renting from. And he didn't care because my dad, I think, paid my rent back then. My dad had to pay my rent because I couldn't pull it together. I was probably paying part of it. I couldn't get my shit together. Right? So those people had had it. You know, it's a... this is a disease of self. For me. Right? You might be a different kind of alcoholic, but for this one, it's a self-centered disease. It says it all through the book. I'm a self-centered person full of fear. What does self even mean? Me guy. I'm a me guy. You know? It's, you want to see a self-centered person? Look at George Costanza, right? He does not give a shit about anybody but himself, right? And he's, the funny thing about George Costanza is he's completely oblivious to the idea of caring or humility or any of that, right? He doesn't, I mean, there's even a couple episodes where they, you know, I want to help somebody, right? They want to help somebody because when you help somebody, it helps us. I remember the episode's great, but they're completely oblivious to this world of helping others, what the world of a self-centered person looks like. You know, many people, they come into this program and they say that they, you know, that they drink too much, right? If they could just take away the drinking, they would fix everything. It's definitely a great beginning. You know, when I came in, I'll never forget how amazing self felt when I had taken out the booze. You know, self was feeling fantastic. Self could drive again. Self could hang out. Self could get a better job. Self could do this. You know, and for a while I thought that was just the problem. I just drank too much. But it isn't. It's a self problem. And that's what these steps help with, identifying. You know? There's a, you know, you want to get yourself into a point where you don't pick up a drink again, right? Then you also want to get yourself to a point where you can't talk yourself into having a drink again. You know, when I first came in, I'm like, I am not drinking again. Hell no. Because I had had a terrible experience. I had had stitches, got my ass kicked, humiliated, embarrassed, ashamed. You know, of course I was going to quit. I don't think many people, I know, I'm sure, I've heard him even say it, so minus those few people. But I don't think most people come into, or I do think that most people that come into a recovery program have had an ego-devastating moment, right? You know, I've shared before, there's a couple people, one of them being, that's, you know, likes to say that he had a dream, and the dream was he got sober, and so he woke up the next day and he didn't have another drink since. And I don't, I mean, that's great. But I'm not sure that is true, but maybe it is. I don't know. The fact is that it is, you know, I would sit on that couch the day before, before the moment I got punched in the face at that bar, I had thought about trying to quit drinking every single day. I could not. I had a dream. I cried, I laughed. It was the worst, you know, one of the darkest, lowest points of my life. Every day I would have the same conversation. I think I need to quit. I'm not drinking again. And then through the day, that it would slowly fade and back to having a drink. Every morning I woke up and I said, I don't want to drink today. And at the end of every day, I would have a drink. The only way that I've ever been able to pause on my drinking is when my ego is fucking devastated, whether it's getting thrown out, getting caught, right? Getting caught was always a good one. I was watching Joe Rogan's podcast and he had Louis C.K. on, which was he's a funny guy, but he was talking about 9/11 and that he was, I don't know what he was doing, but he had called his wife, I guess, the day it happened. He hadn't realized that what had happened, and his wife answered the phone crying and all upset. And he's like, you know, what's the matter? What's going on? Are you okay? And she's crying and couldn't talk and had to hang up. And all he kept thinking about was, did she figure out something that I had done, right? Is he getting caught at something, right? I've had a few of those moments where the conversation starts off with tears and you're like, this isn't good. I've done something and someone has figured it out. And usually it was drinking, right? You know, you come home and you're just all happy and the wife's like, you know, I found this bottle. And just your whole life of lies just falls apart. And then you find humility takes a break. Humility, or not humility, ego takes a break, right? Ego takes off running. That's like when I got punched, man. Ego was not there. God paused my ego somehow. And I had a moment where I said, you know, I could, like Anthony Kiedis, jumping through that window. You know, I just had this opportunity to jump through the window, and I jumped. The first time I did this program, I jumped for the wrong reason, good or bad. I mean, it was good because it was a beginning, right? It was absolutely the beginning. I got my feet wet. I got an introduction, you know. Unfortunately and fortunately, it didn't work the first time. But I had been here, and when I came back, I was welcomed. And that was, you know, the second time it's been, you know, through a whole different lens. Looking at these steps, and this is the first one is the best example, because like I said, I came into this program as a victim of alcohol, right? Poor me. Poor me. Look how bad my life is because of this alcohol. You know, where nobody gives a fuck. You're an asshole is what you are, Tom. But the second time I came in as a person that was deficient in humility. Self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's my real issue. And, you know, it's taken many years to figure it out, but the first step was the beginning. We admitted, surrendered, that our lives have become unmanageable. Yeah. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. That's right. I'm looking out the... I guess these guys are going to fix this electricity in front of the front door, right in front of me. So they're basically on one of these, I don't know what they are, but they're just sitting in front of the door. Oh, man. Anyway, yep. So, when, like I said, the meeting was great. First step was always great. If you're new to this program or trying to figure it out, you know, the cool thing about it is it does take a wee. You know, we can't do this by ourselves. It's, you know, it's the support. It's holding each other accountable. It's becoming a part of something. You know, I was at a meeting the other day, and really the topic was, you know, service. And service saved me. Service work saved me. It is one of the greatest things that you can get involved in when you come into the program of AA or NA or whatever AA is that you want to go to. Get involved. It allows you to meet people. It allows you to be part of something. It allows you to understand how the whole doing something that you don't really want to do is helpful to us, right? There are people I don't think really understand it. You know, meetings should be an inconvenience. Making coffee should be an inconvenience, right? You should be like, oh my God, I'm having such an amazing life. I've got to pull away from this amazing life and go make coffee for an hour, right? It shouldn't be... this life sucks. I'm going to go have a good time making coffee. I mean, you know, we get better to get better. Coming back and helping should be an inconvenience. But that's, you know, that's the magic of the inconvenience. You know, it allows us to be a part of something. You know, there's nothing great. We're not living unless we're suffering. That's what I like to say. If I'm not suffering, I'm not living. And what that means, I'm having to do things that inconvenience me. I was watching something the other day, and this lady was talking about the law of thirds or something like that. Like, you should have a good day, a medium day, and a shitty day, and you should have one of those one out of the three times, right? So, which basically she's saying is, which, you know, makes sense. You know, you should have, you know, you shouldn't have every day shouldn't be amazing, right? You should have some days that are okay, some days that are better, and some days that are great. And that way, when you have a bad day, you know that a good day's coming. But it keeps us, you know, even, right? If you have too many good days, it ends up making us, you know, grumpy and moody and you know, that's where you become spoiled and entitled and arrogant and all this different shit. You know, and if you have a shitty day, too bad, too many shitty days, you know, that's not good either. You lose hope. And so, you know, it's good to have a little taste of everything in there. Yeah, let me see if I can do a reading. And then, I'm sorry, this guy sitting in front of my freaking front door here is totally distracting. But whatever, they got to do their work, and I appreciate them. Appreciate them putting them lights up. Here we go, January 28th, getting involved. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. To be helpful is our only aim. Faith without works is dead. I always love that, and I always, that's interesting. I understand that service is a vital part of recovery, but I often wonder, what can I do? Simply start with what I have today. I look around to see where there is a need. Are there ashtrays full? Do I have hands and feet to empty them? Suddenly I'm involved. The best speaker may make the worst coffee. The member who's best with newcomers may be unable to read. The one willing to clean up may make a mess of the bank account. Yet every once in a while, every one of these people and jobs is essential to active group. The miracle of service is this. When I use what I have, I find there is more available to me than I realized before. Yeah. That's so funny that it's so many times I try to just share about what's going on, and somehow the daily reflections, it relates, and it's so cool. Yeah, I think I remember first when I first came to the program, I didn't think I had anything to offer. I had nothing to share, right? I had nothing to offer the group. I was a parasite, right? The last part of my drinking and drugging life, I was a parasite. I lived off of everything else. My parents, whatever it is I could leech myself onto and mooch myself off of. But that's sort of how I got by. You know, that's how I survived. So as that kind of person, I didn't think I had anything to offer. And I remember someone said that, you know, if you were the only person sitting here and a newcomer came walking in, and you were the first person that was here and maybe kept them from leaving, maybe you saved somebody. Maybe you helped. That's a way to help. And you're always helping, right? I mean, every time you come to a meeting, you're participating. That's part of the, you know, that's a way we help in early days, right? Shaking hands, welcoming. We don't smoke in meetings anymore, so cleaning ashtrays isn't one of them. But there is always somebody, you know. The meeting I was at the other night, the lady was saying that they used to take a commitment. It was for a year. And I was like, well, that's sort of lame because that doesn't allow other people to take a commitment. I mean, really a commitment, I think, maybe there's something written down, but, you know, for a month. You know, for the month. Get the commitment for the month. That allows you to have to participate and be part of something, and then also allows somebody a month later to come in and participate. And it's a big deal because someone shouldn't have the commitment for a whole year. That's no fun. Yeah. So, anyway, let's see. Yeah, that's the reading. Anyway, well, I hope everyone's having a great day. I'm literally staring at a guy in a boom truck while I talk on this microphone. So, very interesting. But we'll get back to it next week. I don't know. Maybe this week. I don't know. We'll see. Have a great day. Later.